Hey, I'm Ralph from Mousesports, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello! Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Coming to you live from a undisclosed location, but it is the home studio, I can give you that much. The date, July 6, 2017, the time, 8:35 on the dot. PM, that is. Episode 65, and dare I say it, it's our best one yet. A lot of care, a lot of time, a lot of effort putting into it. I'll be your host, one of them anyways. My name is Tim. Sitting next to me at my house is Anuj. Anuj, what is up?
What's up, buddy? Go Ninjas.
Wearing your Ninjas shirt. Jersey.
Repping it today. It's been a while.
What material are we working with?
I don't know, dude, but it feels like a small. It feels like a small.
I mean, it's probably a small shirt, but that is hot jersey material.
Hot as in like fire is what he's talking about.
I feel like you're probably sweating underneath it. And then not here at my house, but in our hearts, we have Brett. Brett, do you hear us?
Hello, world. Go USA.
Well, you're a Nip fan too, though. Don't hide it.
Well, I mean, I'm just excited that 3 and 8 teams are moving on to knockout stages. So.
You sound a little funny, I won't lie to you, but we're in mid-recording, and I'm not going to stop this. This train stops for nothing, Brett. So fix your mic live on the fly. It sounds like you moved it a little. But that's okay, because you know why? No one listens to us. Like, we maybe like just sound funny to 4 people right now.
2 of them who we're related to.
This is true. Our wives are listening, so that's 3. And then we got the 1 random listener, so that's 4. That sounds about right. But let's get into the show right now, because like I said, it is a good one for multiple reasons. One is because this is the show before our live show. All right, so if ever your dream was to hear us live on the radio, if you live in Dallas-Fort Worth, extra special, because you can tune in your car or your Sony Walkman. Next Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, we will be live on Sports Radio 1310 AM and 96.7 FM, The Ticket. It is the radio station I normally work for, and they are kind enough to once in a while entertain my ridiculous ideas of esports and video games. Come on. So they're nice enough to let us go on the airwaves sometimes and pregame or do a preview for a major. So that's what we're doing. For the CSGO major coming up. That's next Thursday, though. Tonight, we have e-news, of course. We have some quick hits to get in there. We will talk a little bit of the ESL 1 Cologne. That's going on right now. Group stage just finished up. Not really group stage, but pool play, whatever you want to call it in the Swiss system that everyone's doing. And oh boy, America's coming. America is coming.
Happy July 4th.
Oh, I know, right, like around Independence
time.
Day, man.
Perfect time.
It's like they planned it.
It is perfect.
This is like Moses' wet dream.
And we will talk about that in soon. But to start the show, I wanted to get into a little discussion here, mainly as a talking point, but I want to use this as a launching point. EVO recently released their numbers. EVO, if you don't know, is the premier fighting game community tournament. It's the premier, almost like the Super Bowl of events for when it comes to the FGC. Okay, if you win EVO, normally that's, you're kind of revered, unless there's like a league or anything to your game. EVO's a big deal to win. Okay, it's open to anyone to play in. You don't have to qualify for it, or you're not invited or anything. It is a fully inviting event, or I'm sorry, it's a full open event. Anyone can register for it, and it brings in massive numbers. Okay. Last year was record-breaking as far as the amount of people that attended Evo. I mean, into the thousands. Like, and I'll get into that in a second. But the reason I bring this up is because Evo recently, they always give off their attendance numbers. Okay. And this year was a drop. Pretty significant drop. Okay. What do you think when you think of an attendance drop or an entrance drop? What's the first thing that would come to mind?
People aren't playing the game as much.
Brett?
Yeah. Or maybe some interest is being lost in some way. I don't know.
And that's normally, I think that's the normal go-to is kind of that, you know, maybe fighting game communities are having a struggle. Okay. Well, thankfully, Slingshot Esports and Shuriken.com did a lot more research than I ever cared to do on this, but they did write some good articles. So I would always check them out, of kind of diving into it, right? Telling a little bit more of the story. Okay. So first, let's sound the alarms looking at the number differences. Okay. Street Fighter V came out last year right around Evo. The hype was at its max. E-League has picked up Street Fighter V. The hype is still there. People are really into it. The viewer numbers are up. But at Evo, the attendance rates have dropped almost 50%, down 49% this year, 2,622 entrants. Okay? For 2016, it was over 5,000. So it's dropped from 5,107 to 2,622 for Street Fighter, which is kind of like the
prime game right now.
Yes, that is like the game when you think of the fighting game community. That's kind of what they like to show off, right? Smash 4, that's Smash Wii U. That's on Wii U for those who don't know. That was a 43% drop from 2,662 to 1,515. Huge drop. Again, with Melee, 40% drop. Tekken 7 is the only game that showed an increase in attendance or entrance, but that's a little skewed. It went up 133% from 549 to 1,278. That is a huge thing because Tekken 7 finally came out for console and PC.
Yep.
Before it was only available for arcade.
Okay, yeah. When did it release in arcade and PC?
Oh, I mean, it's been out, I think, for at least a year. Let me see when it was.
Yeah, arcade's been out for a little bit. You and I had this conversation.
Yeah, we've talked about it off the show before, where the arcade has been around, where if you really wanted to play it, March of 2015 is when Tekken 7 originally came out. So it's even longer than
that. Those numbers were due for an increase.
It's kind of fresh, though. Yeah.
Well, it's fresh because it's hit console. So to a huge community of people, the game just came out.
So right. To everyone, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, to anyone. Because it's, you know, the arcade is not what it used to be. So that's there. Injustice 2, a measly 883 entrants. You know, obviously the game just came out, what, in May? If I'm not mistaken. It's still fresh. Maybe that's scaring some people away, but you would think that would almost make it higher. People don't. I think what people are afraid of with Injustice 2 is that it's going to go the route of Mortal Kombat X, which in the realm of fighting games was really not that good. People didn't like the fighting style. People didn't like the different, I guess, what do you want to call them, like builds that you could do. And
there was no balance.
It was too much balance almost, right? The characters, there was constantly balance updates, balance updates, balance updates, which always resolved in a... No one could get used to it, right? You're constantly patching it. It's throwing it off.
It almost feels like they were lazy when they first made it. Like, why wasn't it balanced enough when the game came out?
You see that with all these games nowadays, though. Not even just fighting games. How many games have come out and they feel so unpolished, right, when you get it? They wait for their sales to go up. If the sales are there, then you slowly see updates coming because of the outrage within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mortal Kombat even listed on there?
No, Mortal Kombat is not at this year's.
Were they there
Evo.
Last year?
Yes.
So that's another.
Yes, and they were part of a fan vote, but it was voted in by donations and charity. It was a good bit that they had going, But Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom ended up taking that that spot. So it beat out Mortal Kombat and a handful of other games, Pokken being one of them. So Mortal Kombat's not even on there, which to me, I grew up on Mortal Kombat.
That's what right. I think of, that yeah. and Street Fighter.
Right, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. But me personally, I remember sitting in my cousin's basement just playing Mortal Kombat, thinking we were getting away with something because it was so gory back yeah. in the day. And for it to not be at Evo, it hurts a little bit, but it makes sense because...
I mean, didn't they add like Predator and stuff in that game?
They
and
added like, it Alien. Just went... It just, they're about their bits.
Yeah.
You know, they like their bits. They like their DLCs.
But that's kind of the bigger issue we're getting into here.
Exactly. And I think, okay, one of these bigger issues is DLC when it comes to fighting games. Okay. I know some people are like, well, it's because... They're segregated. There's so many different fighting games to play. But that's not even that big of an issue here when you're looking at like crossover. More than 40% of the people playing Tekken, Marvel vs. Capcom, King of Fighters, and Injustice 2 are all playing Street Fighter. They have those crossovers. You know, Shuriken did the numbers here. You can easily see the biggest games here that don't really have any crossover is... I think an obvious one, which is the Super Smash Brothers. They're completely different from all the other fighting games, yeah. so you're not going to get a lot of crossover. But for the most part, everything else, I mean, if you're competing in...
That, you can play in any
yeah,
one
Yeah, if
them.
You're competing in Street Fighter, you're probably also competing in Tekken and things like that. Almost 50% of the people are.
So with that amount of crossover, and that means, you know, X number of people own the same game back and forth, when you have a DLC... For every game being released, that's roughly, what, $15 to $25, let's just say, on average for characters and maps, really?
Yeah, I mean, and it's... You
that
bring
adds up.
I'll use that as a segue, okay? Just looking at Street Fighter V right now. Not when it was released, right now, if you were wanting to get into this game, okay? $40 to buy the game. To get all those six characters... The game came out with 16 characters, they came out with Season 1. Through Season 1, they released six characters, making it 22 total. You can get them for $20 a pop, or $20 total. Season 1 is $20.
Okay? So now you got a $60
now you
full
have
price.
A $60 normal
sense.
Full price game.
Yep.
Okay, Season 2, also they're going to eventually release six characters through Season 2, $30. So now you're reaching $90 total. And that's if you're getting in now. Forget if you got in when the game wasn't $40.
Yeah, you bought it at full price.
Right. And yeah. I'm not saying this is breaking the bank. I can afford $90. I mean,
that's right.
Look at my
baller.
Can we afford it on like 7 or 8 games, though, is the thing that you're playing simultaneously?
Exactly. And when you're doing priority right. and trying to get into these games, the fighting game community is amazing. And it's not at fault, but it is hard to get into. Right? I mean, you just recently bought Street Fighters because it was on sale.
Yeah, I got it on sale pretty
yeah.
cheap
so
for
you,
a holiday
you bought,
special.
Yeah, SF. You bought Street Fighters 5, or Street Fighter 5, and, you know, the first thing you said is like, man, the first one was pretty fun because you felt like you played someone your level. Then the next couple, you just got
I was like,
destroyed.
Oh, wow, they know every single move.
And I'm not saying that's going to destroy your community because obviously there's going to be a learning curve, but I'm just saying, is it worth the amount of money that it takes to get into the community? And I don't think that's something that people, or at least maybe I've never heard it. Maybe it is getting discussed, but in the fighting game community, I have not heard that being brought up once, that this DLC is getting out of control. Just out of control. I love Injustice 1. Haven't bought Injustice 2 yet for the sole purpose of, I'm not going pro in it. I'm not going to compete in tournaments. I like playing them casually. I'm not going to buy the vanilla game. I'm going to wait for the Game of the Year edition, and I'm going to get all the characters for $40.
And by then, you're looking at a year to 2 years out, right?
You're looking at a year or so out. So even with Injustice 2, okay, 24 characters on the release roster. I think now the game has dropped to $40 already, okay? But it came out for $60. 24 characters were with it. They've already pitched 9 DLC characters. The one that you can buy right now is Darkseid for $6.
For one
character? One character, $6. Now, you could have gotten them with your pre-order, though.
Of course.
$6 for one character.
That's it.
Okay, so even if you went and bought all nine, even if, not saying that all the DLC characters will be $6, let's go conservative. That's still going to be like $50 just to get nine additional characters.
And even if it's, you know, take off 10, you buy them all, they'll do some type of deal. You know, buy all six and get them for 40, and all of a sudden that's a value deal at that point. The bigger issue I have is just DLCs in general. I'm okay with the word expansion when I feel like I'm getting content, or I'm, you know, if for a game to give you 3 years of gameplay, for example, they probably have to release some new stuff throughout, because there's no games that really have 3 years of straight gameplay on an initial release. People find a way to quickly beat content. My issue in the fighting game community is you are truly just getting characters and maps, and that's what you're paying for, something that's probably already sitting there pre-made, ready to go when they initially launched the game, and now they're just charging you. Like you said, it's getting out of hand. It's starting to become character by character now. They can slowly release them.
And that's not even including all the cosmetics. That's just including things you have to buy, characters and maps and things like that.
So on Street Fighter, I could buy like skins for each character, like they have their different outfit.
You can easily drop $200-$300 on Street Fighter. You don't have to. And I'm not arguing about the cosmetics, okay? I'm guilty of buying cosmetics, and that's because I wanted to.
Those are optional. You don't need a cosmetic to play the game, but you do, to be on a fair competitive level, have all the characters available to you.
Mm-hmm. And this is another one that really irks me, is Marvel vs. Capcom 4 coming out here in a couple of months, where Marvel vs. Capcom 3 had 36 characters and 2 DLC. Okay? 38 total, give or take, and things added throughout. Marvel vs. Capcom 4 is going to have 22 at launch, okay? And they've already confirmed 2 DLC characters right off the bat. This is not including, during launch, some of the main staple heroes that were in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You're not going to have Wolverine, or Magneto, or Storm, or Doom. You're not going to have Street Fighter characters. None of this is in the vanilla game that all of this was. The Marvel vs. Capcom 3 had 36 characters.
At launch.
At launch.
And now they're down to 20. They'll sell
Marvel
them as expansion
Capcom
packs.
Marvel vs. Capcom 4 has 22 at launch. What happened
X-Men
to those 14 characters?
Buy your X-Men pack. Buy your Street Fighter pack. Buy your Mortal
exactly
Kombat.
That's exactly what
you know,
people are saying they're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's like they saw everyone else do it, and they're like, you know what? They're going to make money. Well, let's find a way to monetize this.
Let's
just crap on everybody.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, that's corporate being corporate, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Follow suit. EA started this off.
It's been this
trend
for the last
DLC.
10 years.
It's not going anywhere.
No,
it's going to get worse. You're going to get, like you said, microtransactions, just like you mentioned. Buy this one character. Buy the second character. You're not even going to be able to buy them as packs, which may be cheaper. They can start to sell them individually. And so it's only going to get worse. They'll find a way to monetize it any way that they possibly can.
Do you know what's sad, though? It's almost becoming, and this goes beyond just fighting games, it's becoming almost a norm with most games. It's like, oh, well, this game has, you know, in-game purchases. Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to where people are okay with it.
Right.
They're I think we're already okay with it, right? When you see a game that's, you know, reaching 3-4 million players, Overwatch prime example, 10 million plus players. I mean, you can buy
and you buy cosmetics.
Yeah, you can buy.
And again, I don't care about cosmetics. That's perfectly fine. In fact, I like games with cosmetics because it mixes it up.
Just
right,
another flair to the game, right?
I have an issue where, like I said, with the fighting game community, I have an issue though with it because their DLC completely affects what you can do on the competitive side of their game.
There's only a couple genres like that, and fighting games being one of them. And I think games like Battlefield and Call of Duty, if you don't buy the expansion pack, you're pretty much done playing the game at that point, because all the servers have now included those map packs on there. You can't join those servers. You physically can't play with your friends most of the time. So it's ruining their genre
as
a whole.
Even as an esport, right? I mean, you're trying to make your game as competitive. The only people that are playing these games at a high level, now don't get me wrong, I'm sure you have people who play it casually who buy all the DLC. I think the majority of the people, though, do not, right? I would love to hear from listeners on Twitter, @TheCenterRing, if you are interested, or join our Discord even, And I would love to hear from people who play fighting games community on a casual basis who have no problem paying for all these characters that are coming out and buying all this DLC just because they're like, oh, you know what? I enjoy the game and I don't mind spending $6 for Darkseid, which was a bonus character for your pre-order. You don't think they could have just added him in the game?
Yeah, like, hey, if you don't pre-order, you get him a month later or something.
Right.
Like, I mean,
that's the things that bother me, where it's affecting the competitive scene and not the pro scene. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about the pro scene. I'm complaining about the base of the competitive scene.
The pro scene is going to stay because they make money playing, right? So they're getting paid to play. They're not buying the DLCs. It's the fan base. The fan base is what drives an organization like Evo, the tournament run by players from all over just coming to play.
Keep in mind, this is also if you're looking at just Evo numbers, and every article will point it out, 2016 was not what you would normally. I mean, that was just.
It was Street Fighter, like you said.
Street Fighter just came out. The hype was up, and it's insane, right? But it's. You know, even comparing it to 2015, 2017 is up by like 1% or something like that. So it has gone up. It's not like this is the lowest number or anything like that. If you take out 2016, it still hasn't gone down any other year.
It'll just be interesting to see as the trend continues and you see more and more.
Yeah, by no means this is not a trend. One year does not make a trend.
But something to keep an eye on.
And I did see, and just kind of going on the topic of maybe like pros in the FCG or FGC, whatever. You know what I mean. I saw a tweet from Daigo, who, legend, right, in Street Fighter. He said almost a year ago to today, I'm seeing a tweet right now where he's like, I don't even know if I'm going to play pro next year, because he was talking about character balance at game launch.
Yeah, he had a rough learning to Street Fighter V. I think that's probably most of the time with pros in any new game. But yeah, I mean,
it goes to like game balance, like when at game launch, and you were talking about, you know, patches on patches on patches on patches. You know, maybe that has something to do with it too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a large drop. Like, there's really not anything you can pinpoint to almost a 50% drop.
You just have to see it year by year. And see how the trend continues. Do the numbers stay steady where they're at now, or do you continue to see it grow? Fun fact about Daigo. He sat in my gaming chair.
That's right. And you have Daigo's...
I have his sweat on my chair.
On your gaming chair.
I can't tell you. He was doing a photo shoot or whatever for HyperX at the time, and the chair that I bought from DreamHack was the chair that they used.
And you specifically asked him not to wipe it down.
I told him to sit in it naked. I was like, dude,
do not wipe
sit
that.
In it, do this photo shoot. Like an ESPN body magazine type thing. And I mean, rest is history.
So Evo is at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada, July 14th through the 16th. So coming up, it's actually the weekend, next weekend, the weekend of the major. So much is happening that weekend, and I'm very upset.
Does it change locations?
Going to be that. It changes the hotel where it's at,
but it's always
in Vegas,
so that wouldn't have anything
it
to do
doesn't
with
have
numbers.
Anything to do with it. I know, like we said, and real quick, I want to move on, but yeah, that's a good point, because people are like, well, it's in Vegas, right? Counter-Strike failed miserably in Vegas, and that was the reason, is because it's in Vegas and there's so much to do. But last year was also in Vegas, so again, there's no one can pinpoint a reason why the numbers decreased the way they did. It's just going to have to wait to see if it's a trend. Okay. But maybe it's too early to call it a trend, but North American Counter-Strike is trending up. And that is with the ESL 1 Cologne happening. Like I said, their pool play just finished up with a glorious performance by North America, where all three teams, Team Liquid, Cloud9, and Optic Gaming. That's right, Optic Gaming. I thought they were done, to be honest with you.
Everyone thought they were done.
All qualifies for the playoffs.
Right.
Hayes is the only person that I saw that tweeted out, like, I have a good feeling for some reason going into this tournament. Probably because it could have potentially been his last tournament with the team.
That is the most positive.
Turns out, man, he was onto something.
I mean, you say it enough. I mean, eventually, it's gonna happen,
eventually, you're gonna be right. I think what's weird to me is before we went into ESL 1, or if not even before we went into, during ESL 1 when it first started, I was looking, and I think what didn't it? Correct me if I'm wrong, because I just lost the tab. Optic lost their... No, they won their first two.
Yeah, right? Optic won their first two.
They beat North. They beat Space Soldiers. They lost to Liquid. When they lost to Liquid, I was like, and we're done. Like, well, this is where it starts.
You saw the matchup come next against FaZe, and you were like, oh, yeah, here we go. This is where it happens.
And I thought for sure this was going to be the tournament, because they did not qualify for the major, which we'll get to in E-News. But I thought... this is done. They're done. They just literally missed out on the major, and now they're going to not really probably even care about Cologne, and then they're going to break up the team and we'll move on. And in fact, being the pessimistic NA fan that I am, I was like, all of them are going to suck, and then you're going to see an NA shuffle. I honestly thought that's what was going to happen.
I'm glad to see Liquid still perform. I mean, Liquid played so well in the qualifiers. It really is a shame that they didn't end up making the major. They were right there at the end to have a spot there. So it's really good and exciting to
Liquid
see them.
Liquid almost played angry.
Yeah, you know, they came out and like, they're like, you know what? Like, it wasn't a fluke that we played well here. We're a young team. They've continued to improve. So it's been, I think, just great to see them. Cloud9, I mean, Cloud9 started off this tournament 0-2 and rallied back to finish 3-2. And part of it was... And I heard, I think it was Moses talking about this on the broadcast, like, it looks like they were trying a different style in ESL, knowing that they've been playing super aggressive. For those of you that haven't been watching as much, you know, Cloud9's approach to the game is a very aggressive style of play. The first two games, they slowed it down, and it was almost like, let's see how we look playing a slower style, and it wasn't working out for them. And then it became crunch time, like, oh, geez, one more loss and we're out. And they went back to their aggressive play style. And, man, like, the Asian persuasion, dude, it's, like, insane with Stewie and Automatic.
They are playing... I mean, so here's the thing. They are playing great. Automatic and Stewie are playing great. The concern is if they're not playing great, then they're not... The team is not playing great. Which, I guess you could probably say that about any great team, other than SK.
The good thing for them is they've been pretty consistently good for them. And what they need are other people to come up from time to time on clutch rounds. You saw Skadoodle do it, you know, during the qualifier, have that 1v5. You've seen them step up a couple of times in this tournament. Nothing has been very consistent. So they're finding ways for them to contribute alongside of them, and that's what's allowing them to beat these better teams. It's not just them playing well. You're finding consistency in the other three right now. Mm-hmm. Perfect timing leading into the major.
I mean, just taking out, like, looking at Cloud9, you take out Automatic, who just pretty much destroyed his team in kills in this tournament so far. The rest of the team are within like 15 kills of each other. So they're all contributing, which is good, because Tim, you were talking about this last episode. It was like, well, in these tournaments, there's only one, you know, one person will show up and just clutch, you know, all the rounds, and then, you know, nobody else shows up. But in this tournament, they're all showing up. So, you know, that's very
another
Cloud9.
Yeah. Yeah. Another surprise factor, which is not like what they've been performing. And that's your guys' boys.
Ninjas, man. Like, so exciting to see this. I mean, obviously, they have the two new additions. Drake has been there
for a little bit. To turn it around like this, I mean, it's a small sample size.
Well, the nice thing for them is, you know, Rez is coming from Draken's old team, right? So they've had an opportunity to play together on Epsilon. They were both the star players on Epsilon. So Rez coming over fit naturally to... They knew his play style. It wasn't going to be a surprise on how he played. It was whether he would perform on the big stage. And obviously he stepped up, but Exist and Forest have both been playing great this tournament. Forest is second in KDR, right up there behind Stanislaw of all people. But Forest has played like the Forest of old. Getright's had, 1.5 plus KDR also in this tournament. So the old and the new are stepping up for them. Super exciting time to be a NIP fan, because you're seeing
growth. Good. Yeah, and I watch a lot of NIP games, and when they first got the new op, Dragon. He was very like passive, like a lot of matches on Cash on CT side, like he's just kind of hanging out mid and not really doing anything, just kind of like looking at angles. But just recently it looks like he went to the school of like Fallen for ops, like he's being aggressive and he's moving around a lot, and the fancy flicks and just being aggressive. It feels like he's more comfortable now with the team, which is good for us.
I'll tell you, my opinion on that is the exit of Freiburg, right? So with Draken being taking over Pit spot, or whoever spot he took over at this point, the other fifth essentially is what we would call them, the unanimous fifth, because it was a rotating door for them. Mm-hmm. Draken had to come in onto a senior team, right? I think that would hold you back a little bit from also maybe trying to just explode onto the scene, losing Freiburg and picking up a friend, as in Rez in this case, I think allows him to play more free and know, like, okay, my ass is not on the line right now. Like, I can go out there and play. They're obviously keeping us. They're not going to split us up. And it's allowing them to be themselves a little bit more. Rez looked so comfortable. This was his first major LAN, and he's, playing like a vet out there. He's looking really, really good.
Yep.
Some other...
And on a...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, on a more awkward note, throughout this tournament, you have Freiburg as the analyst. So it's awesome. In his mind, he's like, man, they're gonna go 3. It's like now they're 3-0, and it's like, well, crap.
Probably easier to see it this way, though, right? Like if they were doing bad, you're like, man, you like took me out for this. The opposite of Ninjas is you have VP, and VP is.
And I was about to introduce them, where I don't want to get too far in the VP, whatever you want to call it. Because I want to talk a lot about the next show going into the major.
Yeah.
Because for those who haven't seen it, Virtus Pro, along with Tyloo, which you normally don't include them in the same sentence to be the same performance, but both of them are the only teams at this tournament that went 0-3. There can only be two teams in a Swiss format that go 0-3. And
they lost to what? They lost to Immortals,
SK, and Heroic.
Yeah.
So, arguably, SK is the only one that you can say, okay, that's probably one that you could lose to.
They had two of the lesser teams. I mean, Immortals is still playing with the new fifth.
But if you're looking at like Virtus Pro, right? It's not that Immortals. I'm afraid of Immortals, but when you're against Virtus Pro,
as a Cloud9 fan, you should be. Now they broke that curse recently. Two in a row now, mm-hmm. I think, on LAN.
Right.
But for VP, this was big because, like you said, it's leading into the major. They've been performing poorly, through ECS and ESL. They didn't even make the Pro League finals and got relegated. I mean, at least that's what we, they're relegated. They're no longer in the league.
They did a. Virtus Pro pulled a, you can't fire me, I quit.
No, so here's the thing. Like, with them now, you had Sasha just come out and say, Pasha Biceps just come out and say that he believes that one more bad tournament for them, and they're breaking up. Like, he goes, what else can you do when it's been, he goes, we've had slumps before. We've seen them before, but they've had online slumps. Now it's carried over for, like, the last 3 LANs and online play. It's not looking good, especially with the salaries these guys have.
When you're talking about like putting the team on a pedestal, Virtus Pro is the biggest one, and it's not just them who do it. It's the analysts. I mean, look at how long Thorne has had them in like his top 5 or whatever.
Yeah,
he constantly says, on LAN they're one of the better teams.
They were second at E-League Major. They were they won DreamHack.
They were
Momo.
Second at the cash prize for E-League.
They got second for cash for Clan, whatever the heck it was.
Out of two teams,
but they won DreamHack Masters Malmo, which they're reinvited to, so they're going to be they're automatically going back to that event. But they had played well, and all of a sudden, I mean, it's been a 180.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. This is why online play matters. This is why you need to constantly be consistent with your matches. You can't pick and choose what tournament you want to play good on and which ones you don't, because when you get into that mindset, you turn into Virtus Pro and you end up getting into the you can't get out of it. You put yourself in a hole that you can't get out of. And I really don't want to go too far more into details, because I'm going to go on a rant and I won't be able to stop myself.
And they're 0-3.
In this tournament, 0-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to do what we call in the radio biz a lateral tease. And tune in next episode when we're live on air.
Boom.
Because I want to do a full-blown segment next week on what Virtus Pro we're going to get at the major. Now, I was honestly hoping for a little bit better of a performance at ESL 1, because I think we already know what Virtus Pro we're going to get, but you never know because it is Virtus Pro. So we'll talk about more about them next week. A little disappointed to see Mouse Sports. I mean, Cloud9 knocked him out. So well,
and the German team, the home team for Cologne. I mean, it would have been nice for them to advance. They had a good tournament. Oscar was insane. I mean, Oscar had the match of his life today, actually, against Cloud9. He was putting the team on his back, clutch round after clutch round. You know, they just ran into some tough teams. I think they pulled the opposite of Cloud9, if I'm not mistaken. I think they won their first two matches. Yeah. Fnatic, and they beat Fnatic and FaZe.
They beat Fnatic and FaZe, so they looked going in really strong, and then they lost to Nip, Ninja. Na'Vi, Cloud9.
Yeah, and Na'Vi was a surprising one. I don't think anyone...
So here, this is the thing, and I think this is why people have a beef with the Swiss system, is because Na'Vi had a surprising tournament. They went 1-3. The record would make you believe that it's a surprising tournament. They lost to Liquid, beat Cloud9.
They went 3-1, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
did I say?
1-3.
Oh, you well, it's because I'm looking here. I'm looking at my... Yes, they went 3-1. They won three times and lost once. They have it backwards on this thing that I'm reading. They beat Cloud9, Space Soldiers, and Mouse. And that's where people's beef with the Swiss system is that, yes, they played other teams that also won. So you make that's the other opposite side of the argument, is that you're always playing winners or, you know, losers, people in your same skill. But that doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to have the most difficult route to the, you know, they got Look, third so far, but they
to,
did it.
To quote Dominic Toretto, ask any gamer, any real gamer, a best out of three determines the skill, right? So a best out of three allows you to show your true skill. You get to play three maps. You have a vetoed map. You kind of have a random assigned map and one that is your favorite to play on. But at the end of the day, I mean, you still got to go out there and they still have to win three games to advance. Not every game can be an easy game. I think SK lost their first game to Space Soldiers. I mean, that falls on them. Yes, there's a randomness to it, but I mean, I really like the Swiss system. How do y'all feel about that?
I prefer it.
I like it as a viewer. It's like so much fun to see. I feel like there's more, more exciting gameplay, probably because there is a little bit of randomness to it. But
I think it, and we've seen this multiple times now, where it does favor it favors certain teams. Look at Optic. They typically perform a lot better in Swiss formatted tournaments. Same thing with Cloud9. The group stage, I think the issue is that it is so luck of the draw, right? If you are Optic and you get... I mean, people want to talk about being lucky in a Swiss format. No, there's a lot more sustaining luck in a group stage or in a group format, where imagine if you're Optic, you get drawn in a group with SK, FaZe, and, you know, Immortals or North.
How many times
have
we talked about the group of death? You've heard that that term mentioned... In every single tournament, there's always one group starting, like we just went to it, ESL Pro League. There was one group that's significantly harder than the other.
And there's normally one team in that group where you're like, ooh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry that
one of y'all's getting
screwed.
Yeah.
So it's...
There's a randomness both ways to it. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the randomness worked out in a lot of teams' favors in the final round. So the way it works is when you get to round five... There was only six teams remaining. All those teams in that case were 2-2, winner advancing to the final stage, loser going home. Well, SK could have easily played FaZe in that fifth round. You could have had that as a winner-go-home match. They got lucked out. They played Fnatic. Fnatic's a team that they've notoriously done well against. FaZe got to play North again, a team that was...
Played
a little poor in this tournament. And Cloud9 and Mouse, I think everybody thought was... kind of a toss-up because both teams are playing well. But like I'm saying, it's luck of the draw either way. Group stages, you can either be in the group of death, you can get the easy group. Same thing in the Swiss format. In the knockout stage, you very easily could have had a finals matchup in sending one team home, and that didn't happen either.
So, closing thoughts with ESL 1 Cologne. We're moving on to the playoffs. When do they actually start? Do they start tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
They start tomorrow.
Wow, no day off, huh?
Yeah, so tomorrow, we need to put a wager on this, okay? Because the first game, 3 a.m., is Cloud9 and Ninjas. So I want Tim to come to a table. He's going to challenge me on Twitter tonight for what this bet's going to be, and the terms are automatically accepted right off the bat, just so you know.
He wears my NIP jersey. He wears my NIP jersey.
Yes, I mean,
that would be great.
Probably fit me better than you.
Well, that's also true.
You son of a...
Yeah, so you have, in the quarterfinals, you have Ninjas playing Cloud9. Then you have Na'Vi versus G2, Optic versus SK, and Liquid versus FaZe.
Potentially all three American teams, you could very easily see them going out
just as
in this quarterfinal.
All three American teams make it, and all three
but
get knocked
really
out.
The talent
that would be
here,
so NA.
Really, the talent here is great. It's kind of nice that, you know, I might have liked to see an NA team playing an NA team in this stage just to have one of them advancing.
But you know what? We always use that as our way in. It's always
that's fine. We need a way in sometimes.
I think that's how Liquid made the finals in MLG Columbus. It was they were playing CLG. That's exactly what it was. They played CLG, and so you were guaranteed one to make the semis. It's exciting, but it kind of is
a rough way for them to go. The 50-50 match is obviously the Cloud9 Ninjas. I think Ninjas are playing well enough to say I'm not
confident. Yeah. I mean, I think with all of these...
And NIP has notoriously done well against Cloud9. I know it's different rosters, but they've...
I think apart from Optic and SK, any of these can go either way.
Yeah,
I agree.
G2 Na'Vi, I mean, Guardian played so well in his final game. He had like almost dropped a 30 bomb in that final game. He was about time. He was looking pretty good because he's had a couple rough matches in this tournament alone. And then Simple is Simple. Simple's still one of the best players in the world. So
maybe
not a gimme.
Still recovering for that honeymoon.
Nope. And I think obviously my pick would be Cloud9 to win it all. So we'll just have to wait and see. Let's move on to some e-news here, though, and finish up this show. We have not a whole lot actually happening with all these tournaments going on. It's kind of a dull time. But we have some VR news. Anuj, you are the one who made this aware. Echo Arena is now in open beta from the 6th through the 10th.
Yeah, Echo Arena, it's the second open beta that they're having. Echo Arena is made by the same company that's making the game, Lone Arena. It's going to be free to Oculus players to play. Available for download next 6 days or 5 days or whatever. It's free to play, so go in there and check it out. It's essentially playing like almost a zero-gravity version of Marco Polo or Blitzball in Final Fantasy X.
If you've ever seen Ender's Game.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I know the zero gravity thing that they had. I don't remember, though, if there was a ball involved and it was like a sport. I don't remember that.
This is essentially, it's a disc that you're using. So almost like a, frisbee golf type thing where you're frisbee football or whatever. It's essentially, and it's kind of neat because you get to grab onto the players. You can also like punch the players while you're playing. And like I said, it's supposed to be the first real esports game for VR. If you have a headset, like I said, it's free to play, so go check it out and tell us what you think if you get a chance to try it.
Toshiba is now partnered or sponsoring Panda Global. That's a pretty big player to get into the game of sponsorships into esports when Toshiba's backing you up.
It's just one after another, isn't it? I mean, these guys are... Everyone's rapid-fire getting in right now. I mean, if you can start a team or become a sponsor or just get associated in one form or fashion, you're seeing it left and right now. Everybody is trying to step into the scene.
And then some big news here. Well, not big news. It's not really that surprising. But TI17 is not done yet, but it has surpassed $20 million in prize pool. Obviously, this breaks the record every time. Last year's was, I think it ended at $20.5 million, just under $20.6 million. So this is on pace to basically shatter that.
Oh yeah.
And every year it constantly just overlaps the next one. For those of you that
don't follow these scenes, that competitively, I asked Tim before the show started, you know, Counter-Strike winners in a major get $500,000. That's the biggest prize pool you can get for a first-place team. I go, where does that fall in the TI, Tim? And what did you tell me?
You can get literally fourth or fifth place at a TI and get... Let me see. I'll actually pull up here.
I think it was fifth and sixth was the equivalent to being a first-place CSGO major.
Fifth and sixth. No. Even worse. Seventh and eighth equivalent
even,
to...
Yeah.
And you actually get more, but it's the closest you can get to winning a CSGO major.
Last place in this tournament, he told me, gets 100,000.
And that was last year's numbers. Now, it's going to be more this year because obviously this is going to be more. The prize pool is going to go up. That starts August 7th, the TI does. Let me tell you this, because I know we don't cover Dota 2 or MOBAs in general on the podcast. I do follow Dota. I just don't talk about it because look at who I have for co-hosts. But the TI, anyone can get into because they do such a good job. It's also PGL. So they do such a good job on production-wise. They do such a good job on their streams explaining everything. The casters are great. Valve does a good job at promoting it. The hype is all the way through the tournament. And they didn't do this last year, but they used to always do what's called a noob stream, where, which is what I watch just because I like the... explanations, even though I know what's going on and I know what they're talking about.
A little bit more detail.
Yeah, I like a little bit more slowed down. It's not as much shout casting and just yelling. It's explaining more so.
There's situations I appreciate where it's more. Like a 3-on-2 kind of situation. Yeah, they're breaking it down.
I appreciate
for you.
It. Why not? And if you are new, if they do it this time around, watch it. If not, doesn't matter. It's still a great tournament to watch, and the prize pool is insane. So that is August 7th. We'll talk probably a little bit more. I might do my little preview for that beforehand, but
I'm more of a league guy.
Yeah, I bet you are more of a league guy. Look, give me 30 seconds on the current league pro scene right now.
TSM Dryas is now a streamer, and
that literally was like a year ago.
Dude, that's a big deal. Still, he's still streaming.
Okay, all right.
And Faker is a thing. That guy.
Yeah, T1 dude, right. Domination. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sky is probably still around streaming. I used to watch his stream quite a bit.
Is probably still around. Does that count as you knowing it?
I used to watch his stream, I said. I didn't say I'm watching it now.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Well,
I'm not even going to pretend. And if
I do watch his stream currently, Tim.
To the podcast.
Because you can't fact check it right now.
The
yes.
League of Legends is way down on my list of things to do.
Let me Google something.
I would look good in a Unicorns of Love jersey. I don't know.
There you go. So that is going to be, though, episode 65.
66 will be the biggest one yet.
66. Three away from making it really count, though. I hope everyone who listened this far really enjoyed episode 65. I know we enjoyed doing it for you. Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring your opinions, your thoughts, your hopes, fears, and dreams. Also, we are on Discord, not for much longer, though. I was giving it some thought today. I think I'm actually going to shut down the show's Discord and make a Facebook group chat.
I love it.
I think Anuj is going to run that. He's really into Facebook group chats. So we'll probably just have a TCR Facebook group chat.
It's been a lot of fun.
Instead.
Ping me if you want to join.
So just get on that, right? Discord's dead.
Sorry, Veer.
And... I'm just kidding, by the way. Anuj is just, 32 years old and still can't get away from Facebook. So then we have, what else? Next week, next Thursday, no recording episode. We'll post the podcast later in the week, but we will be live. Follow us again on Twitter and in our Discord. You can get all the updates there. You can stream it. You don't have to listen to it on the radio. TheTicket.com is where you can stream that.
Add me on Facebook and I'll give you some more information.
Add Anuj on Facebook. There you go. And I think that's just about it. So again, our website, tcr.gg, our Twitter, at The Center Ring, and our Discord is on that. Until next week, where we will speak to you live, have a good one.